speaking on this program is Brother Kevin P.
On Sunday nights, for the last couple Sunday nights that I've been with you, we have been looking at sad statements of the Bible. Tonight we want to do likewise and to look at a statement that is found in the context of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verses 1 through verse 5, where it is said with regard to Moses that he was not allowed to enter in to the promised land. As we think with regard to Moses and Aaron, they were indeed considered to be in very strong leaders in and amongst God's people. God chose Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. And yet at the same time, as it is brought out in the context of our reading tonight, he was not allowed to do that. So tonight I want us to examine the backdrop, the context, as to why it is that God would not allow Moses to enter into the land. But then also, what are some lessons that you and I can take away and apply to our everyday walk and trying to be faithful to our God in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we think with regard to the context, the book of Deuteronomy opens with the children of Israel encamped in the plains of Moab east of Jordan. And this we draw from the context of Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 5. We also need to understand that nearly 500 years have passed in the time in which God has given the promise to Abraham. And then also, it is now in the 11th month of the 14th year after the Jews have been brought out of Egypt. And this is brought out again in the context of Deuteronomy chapter 1, this time verse 3. As we consider going on in the context of the lesson, 38 years earlier, God had commanded Moses to send forth spies from Kadesh into Canaan. And the reason for that is that they were responsible for searching out the land that God was going to give unto the children of Israel. In all, there were 12 spies who were sent out. Also, there were 12 spies who came back. And we learn that unanimously amongst them, they were in agreement in regard to what it is that they saw. The context tells us, we came into the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 27. It was exactly as God had promised it would be. It was far greater than anything that they had had. It was far better than anything that they could have ever imagined. And all who were able to cast their eyes upon it at this point was in agreement upon this very matter. But at the same time, the Scripture identifies to us is that there was a disagreement amongst the people as to whether or not they would be able to possess the land. God had commanded them to go in and to take the land. But at the same time, they oftentimes, before this and in this context, feared their enemies. They did not place their full trust and reliance upon God, but rather they were looking to themselves. And as a result of looking to themselves, they saw that within them that they did not feel as if they would be able to conquer the enemy. In this, we understand is that 10 spies conspired to bring back an evil report. Friends, in all, we learn that as a result of that evil report, the children of Israel, all of the children of Israel, it is brought out in the context, murmured against Moses as well as murmured against Aaron. To murmur against means is that they were complaining against these men. Why? Because as they saw it, these men had led them out of a land where at least they had a place to lay their head. They had led them out of a place where at least they were able to have food to eat each night. And now, what is it that they've been led into? They have been led, according to the way in which they are looking at things from a worldly standpoint, into a land where that there's no hope for them to be able to go in and to possess a land that has been promised unto them. The 10 spies rebelled, but at the same time, the Bible identifies to us that there were two, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, as a result of the evil report, the Scripture says that they rent or tore their clothing. As you study from the Old Testament Scripture, and even sometimes in the New Testament, you will find is that people will tear their clothing whenever they are a part of receiving bad news, or whenever they do not like a certain situation or circumstance that has fallen upon them. And that's to be the understanding as we think with regard to Joshua and Caleb. They tear their clothing because of the evil report. The fact that these 10 spies in conspiring has brought back a lie knowing full well that as long as God would be with His people, and as long as they would comply with God, hence they would be able to take the land. And Joshua and Caleb encourage Israel unto that very end. They say that if God delights in us, He will bring us. He will deliver us into the land. But friends, they did not listen to what Joshua and Caleb had to say. In fact, what we learn in the context is that the congregation of Israel sought to stone these two men because of the position that they were taking. This led to God's judgment of that generation of Jews. The Bible identifies to us is that this brought forth the wrath of God. And as a result of that, God vowed and He kept His promise is that those who were 20 years and older, that they would die in the land. They would not be able to go out of the area of which they were and into the promised land. It was only their younger children that would be able to be reared and to someday be able to enter into the land. As we go on and consider the context of what's going on here in regard to this, the Bible identifies to us that Moses would pay dearly for the sins that he would commit in his life. In regard to the context, we also learn is that we are in the 14th year now of what's going on in Deuteronomy. All of the men of war have died. Some 600,000 plus men have lost their lives at this point in time. But also a lot of other things have transpired over the course of time that we're dealing with within this 14-year span. Miriam has died at Kadesh. We learn this by connecting it with Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1. Aaron has also died at Mount Hor in Numbers chapter 33 and verse 38 declares this. The promised land is now before Israel and shortly to come to pass, they are now to go over beyond the Jordan to inherit the land. Friends, repeatedly Moses has mentioned Canaan in and throughout the study of the book of Deuteronomy. As we look in regard to the close, though, of the book of Deuteronomy, as was read before our hearing just a few moments ago, Moses is at Mount Nebo, and in this he is allowed to see the land, but he's not allowed to enter into the land. That's one thing that certainly must have just devastated Moses. It must have been very trying for him to have been selected by God to be the leader of Israel, the nation that God had set apart for him and his service, to be selected and given this role and responsibility. And now, as they are nearing the promised land, to have God say those words unto him is that he would allow him to see it, but friends, he would not be allowed to enter into the land. In all, as we think with regard to this, the Lord told Moses, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the descendants thereafter, that he would give unto it." But he says, "You shall not go thereover." Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 4. Friends, Moses was allowed to see it, but not to enter it. What led to this judgment by God? In regard to the context, we learn is that Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Where were they and what was going on? The children of Israel had come into the land of Kadesh. And as they come into the land of Kadesh, there is no water found for the congregation to consume. And you and I know as we read and study from the Old Testament Scripture, and as they have come out of the land of Egypt, and as they journeyed on unto Mount Sinai and beyond, they have come into this situation before. And what has been the result of that? They complained. The context of this setting also identifies to us is that they, the children of Israel, gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. As they were coming against, God wants us to understand is that they are coming strongly against these individuals to hurl accusations at them once again. The Bible also tells us that the people contended with Moses, doing what? Arguing once again, saying, "Why did you bring us out of the land of Egypt? We had things that supplied for us," is their argument back there. "But here, you brought us out to this point to die." Friends, that's the way in which they were looking at the situation of which they were in. They did not see any hope. They did not recognize the fact that God knew their situation. They did not internalize. They did not understand, evidently, that God had the power if He had the power to bring them this far, that God would also have the power to supply whatever need they had at that given time. The Bible identifies to us that God had issued very specific commandments unto Moses concerning this matter. Moses and Aaron, the Bible identifies that they went out of the assembly. And the Bible also tells us that they fell upon their faces. In other words, they have prostrated themselves towards the ground. Why would they do that? Out of love and respect, no doubt, for the one that they are approaching, or the one, rather, who is approaching them. They are in the presence of our God. The glory of God appeared upon them, and God instructed Moses and Aaron exactly what to do. They were to take the rod that budded, the rod that had been used to supply for Israel all along, as well as that rod that had been used to discipline Israel from time to time. They were to take the rod that God had given unto them and to gather the people together in a collective manner and in a sensible way, speaking unto the rock that was before the congregation. And God promised that it shall bring forth water, and you shall give the water unto the people as well as unto the animals. Friends, what happens next is most disappointing. Moses personally violated the commandments of God. The Bible identifies that indeed Moses took the rod, as God had told him to do. But also, not only in bringing the children of Israel together, he couldn't leave well enough alone, but rather he begins to rebuke them, and he calls upon them to be a rebellious people. Were they a rebellious people? Absolutely they were. But at the same time, had God given Moses instruction to rebuke them for their actions? I do not read that in the context. God was going to take care of punishing His people whenever they needed to be punished, and if He was going to use His servant Moses to do that, then I believe that He would have given him instruction to have done that. He rebuked the congregation, and rather than speak to the rock, the Bible says that He took that rod and He hit it twice. Well, what was the result? Well, it brought forth water. And somebody would say, well, you brought forth water, and certainly God is glorified as a result of that. Friends, God was not glorified as a result of the fact that it brought forth water because Moses had violated the commandment of God in bringing forth the water. In fact, the Bible shows us in regard to God is that this provoked the wrath of God upon Moses as well as upon Aaron. And in the fact that they are now facing the wrath of God, the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron and said, because you did not believe me to sanctify me, to set me apart, is what he's saying, in the eyes of the children of Israel, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I am giving to them. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12. Friends, sadly, for the sake of Moses and Aaron, the Bible shows us is that they were kept from being able to enter into the promised land. Oh, what are some lessons, timely lessons, that would be applicable to you and me today as we seek to live a life that is faithful before God? As we think with regard to this, the Bible shows us that there remains a land of rest for the people of God. We have forgiveness of sin in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also shows us that whenever we confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and we surrender and submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ, is that we are bought back. We are redeemed. Well, what does it mean that we are redeemed or bought back? We are bought back from the fact that we were sold as slaves to sin. And therefore, because we were seen as sinners in the sight of God, living in sin and guilty of sin, we were subject to the consequences under the law as to what violators of the law are supposed to be subject to. In other words, we're separated from God. But because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, conjoined with our obedience to the will of God, we had now been brought nigh back into a relationship with our God. And therefore, we are at peace with God. But also, in regard to the fact that there remains a place of rest for the people of God, we have help from God each and every day, and we have hope of a home to be able to spend eternity in heaven with our God someday in the end. But then also, God warns you and me as Christians that we need to understand the seriousness of pride and worldliness. Pride and worldliness have and they continue to play a role in pulling Christians away from God. There are also biblical examples taken into consideration from what we learn in 3 John verses 9 and following. A man by the name of Diotrephes. According to the context, it appears as if this man was serving as an elder or a leader of some sort or degree in the church. And the Scripture identifies in regard to this man is that he loved to have preeminence. He loved to have the authority in the church. And in all, what do we learn about this man? It seems as if, from the context, is that he was filled with pride. And he is spoken of in a very negative way in the sight of God. But friends, not only do we find is that pride pulled this man away, pride continues to pull so many people away from God today. And God wants us to understand that we are to guard against pride. In fact, He says there are six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. And what tops the list in that context of the book of Proverbs is pride. God hates pride. And you and I, as Christians, also need to hate pride and to live our lives in a very humble and contrite manner during the time in which God gives us here in this world. But then also to understand the seriousness and the dangers associated with worldliness. We are reminded from time to time as we would read in the Apostle Paul's epistle to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, a man by the name of Demas. And it is said concerning this man is that he loved this present age more than that which was to come. He evidently enjoyed, not only enjoyed, but he sought after the things that he was able to cast his eyes upon from a worldly standpoint. And he put those things in front of his relationship with God, as well as in his relationship with the Apostle Paul and others in working in the Lord's kingdom. And friends, the Bible shows you and me not only the example concerning this man and many others, but God also instructs us is that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because it compromises our love and our commitment to God. In part, isn't that what we have going on with Moses? Not so much worldliness, but pride. Is that he allowed pride? He allowed himself to go beyond with his anger with Israel to violating the will of God and saying that we're the ones bringing forth the water from the rock? And friends, you and I today need to make sure that that our hearts are wrapped around God and not wrapped around ourselves with pride, not wrapped around the things that this world has to offer that Satan would like to get us to buy into. But rather, we are constantly fixed, our eyes are fixed upon serving God. Why is this so important? Because erring saints will not be granted entrance into heaven's eternal reward. Peter reminds us of this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, in saying that the end for these people is worse than the beginning. He identifies from the context it's as a dog that returns to its own vomit, or a pig that's been washed to wallowing in the mire. They're clean, but at the same time, they can't fathom the idea or they're not committed to staying clean, but rather they'll go and they'll wallow again and contaminate themselves or get themselves dirty all over again. And in the context, what God is saying is that they at one time had a relationship with Him, but He says now they're lost once again. You see, in the context of Scripture, God warns you and me that as Christians, we must stay the course. And as Christians, that if we have a divided loyalty, in reality, we lose our relationship with God. We become separated from God. We become estranged from God. We fall from the grace of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Can you imagine how terrible it will be for these souls in the day of judgment? Having been baptized into Christ, having been added by the Lord into the church, being a part of God's glorious kingdom, and then to sacrifice that, to go back and to live in the world, to go back and to engage in living in sin once again. And friends, if those individuals continue to live therein, the Bible very clearly identifies to us is that they will not be able to enter into the promised land, the promised land of rest, into heaven, of which God has prepared for all of soul, every soul in the end, who is prepared to stand before Him in judgment. You see, though, it doesn't have to end with us being separated from God. Our God stands willing and ready. Our God stands very eager to receive those who have separated themselves from God, those who are erring Christians. He wants so much for them to repent and to come home. And not only does God want this, in like figure, we also pray for those who are erring. We also want to beg and to plead tonight. If we have those who are with us, who are amongst the body of Christ, but at the same time, you've allowed the cares of the world to pull you away, friends, don't be almost but lost. Tonight is that opportunity to make your life right with God as together we